All right, let's get our Bibles out. And we have been talking about defeating giants. And I gave you quite a few giants so far. I hope you've been remembering them, or at least writing them down. Because defeating giants won't help if you don't remember what I told you. Is that true? I mean, it's true, right? I told you that the first giant that we came up with in the church was hopelessness. Then I told you the second giant that we talked about was doubt. And then we talked about fear. And then we talked about temptation. There was a four I gave you so far. And so we work on now the fifth giant that's in the church. And this was a big one. Of the 48 that I got, and I condensed it, this next one was huge. A huge giant that kind of maybe is like 30-some percent of what you gave me. And this giant that we're going to talk about today, which a lot of you can associate with, is unforgiveness. Huge. It's unforgiveness, not being able to forgive people who have hurt you. It could be family members. It could be parents, brothers, sisters. It could be friends. It could be coworkers. It could be a lot of folks in your life that have hurt you, and you have a hard time forgiving them. How many can relate to that, having a hard time to forgive? You see, it's a lot of people, right? That was like one of the huge ones. And today, what I'm going to hopefully be able to do for you is to not only tell you what it is and tell you the problems with not doing it, forgiving, but also help you to be able to do it. Now, forgiveness is one of the main themes of the Bible, isn't it? Can anybody tell me what the main theme about forgiveness might incorporate? Salvation, right? Jesus died for you, and all of your sin has been what? I mean, is that not like a main theme? I mean, no, that's a main theme, right? Forgiveness is a main theme. And so, if we are to become Christ-like, would you not think that that should be a very important part of our journey too? Wouldn't it? If Jesus came to die for the forgiveness of sins and we want to become Christ-like, would you not think that that should be something we would be able to do? And we have a hard time with that, don't we? Fact is, all through what I have been given was not only unforgiveness, but the pain of not being able to forgive someone else. How many understand the pain of not being able to forgive someone else, right? And so we're going to talk about that. So today's lesson will be in the giant of unforgiveness. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. It's a long one. Matthew 18, 23 to 30. And this will be what we call the parable of the unforgiving servant. And many of you heard that parable before, probably, right? We're going to spend some time in it.
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt.
During the Revolutionary War, there was a pastor, and his name was Pastor John Miller. True story. And he had learned that one of his enemies was about to be hung. And Pastor John Miller set out on foot to go meet George Washington. It was a 60-mile trek on foot. And he wanted to go to ask George Washington to let this guy go so he would not be hung. And so Pastor John Miller sat out on foot, and he finally got to where George Washington was at. He went to the president, well, to the general, George Washington, at the time, and begged to allow this guy to be set free so he would not be hung. And George Washington said to Pastor John Miller, "Well, I'm sorry that I cannot grant your request to let your friend go. He will be hung." Pastor John Miller said to George Washington, "Well, he's not my friend, he's my worst enemy." And George Washington said, "Well, in light of that, he's pardoned, because you had enough love in your heart to walk 60 miles to allow me not to hang your enemy." That's a different story. I pardoned him. He walked another 15 miles to where the hangman's noose was waiting. He presented it to the hangman, and this enemy got set free. Who are you willing to hang? I wonder how many of you are willing to hang somebody too. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, the slave owed a great debt. The fact is, the debt that was owed in talents, a lot of people think that a talent is a coin. It's not. It's a measuring device. In fact, a talent might hold 85 to 95 pounds. And this slave who had taken from the king had taken many, many talents, or 10,000 bags of gold and silver. That's what he took. 10,000 bags of gold and silver. If you extrapolate it from that today, he owed the king $50 million. That's what he owed. How much? $50 million. He took from the king 10,000 bags of gold and silver, weighing 95 pounds each. There is no way that he was ever going to repay that. Fact is, somebody did the math a lot smarter than me and found out at the average salary of a slave back then, which was $15 a day, it would have taken this slave, ready, 450 lifetimes. 450 what? Lifetimes to pay that debt back to that king. And the king was owed it. There was no mistake. The king was what? Owed it. And so he said, throw him into prison. And his wife and his kids and everything that they owe, throw them all into prison. And the slave did something pretty ridiculous, really. He threw himself at the mercy of the king, saying, I will repay you. Do not throw me into prison, and do not throw my wife into prison, and do not sell my children into slavery. Because if you do that, my wife will be in a different place, my children will be in a different place, I'll never see my children again ever. So he threw himself at the mercy of the king and said, I will repay you everything that I took. Why is that ridiculous? Because he couldn't do it. And the king knew he couldn't do it. There's no way he could do it. 450 lifetimes, and he still wouldn't pay it off. The king knew. What a ridiculous statement. He's not going to do it. There's no way he can do it. But the king had what? Mercy on him. And forgave him a debt that could never be paid. Ever. The king was going to be out $50 million. Never get it back ever. He threw himself on the mercy of the king, and the king was merciful unto him. You would think he would remember that, right? You would have thought that the freedom that he got by being released of that immense debt, you would have thought that the feeling that he had of not only being released from that debt, but also his wife and his children, you would think that would be fresh in his mind of what just happened to him. And he went outside, and there he saw a fellow slave who owed him $15. One denarius, $15. And he grabbed the hold of his fellow servants, and he choked him around the neck. Choked him. Demanded him, saying, where is my $15? I want it when? I want it now. But now I don't have it. And he choked him around the neck. I want it now. I want it now. The irony of the story is that the fellow servant said exactly the same thing that he just said to the king. Same thing. I will repay you everything. That's just what he said. You would have thought that what that servant said would be fresh in his mind, because guess why? Because that's what he just said. threw himself on the mercy of his fellow servant and said, I will repay you everything that I took from you. But yet, he said, throw him in the prison. And throw his wife and his children into prison. And the king found out about that. He said, isn't this something? I just forgave him of a debt that he could never pay. But yet, he could not have the same mercy on a fellow servant who owed him significantly less. So now, because he would not forgive what I have forgiven him, throw him into prison. Will there be the gnashing and gnarling of teeth? I wonder how many of us have been choking people around the neck too over a debt that they owe you. I wonder how many of us have grabbed somebody around the neck figuratively and choked them and said, you owe me, you pay me now. And if they don't pay you what is owed, you throw them into the dungeon of your soul. And there you chain them up because they have not repaid you the debt that you think you are owed. And so you choke them. And you chain them up in the dungeon. And every so often, you go downstairs into the dungeon of your soul to whip them, to remind them of what they have done to you. And you have them chained on the wall. And you go downstairs in the dungeon of your mind. And you get your whips out and you whip them. How dare you do that to me? I can't believe you said that to me. And you whip them. And you beat them. Because they have not paid back the debt that you think you're owed. Many folks have fathers and mothers chained down in the dungeons of your souls. Things they have said or did while you were young. Some of us have in those dungeons of our souls. We have brothers and sisters. We have gossipers who gossiped about you. You have co-workers who befriended you. You have friends who disappointed you. And you have them downstairs in a dungeon of your soul. And every so often you get the urge to walk down into the dungeon and take out the whip and whip them for everything they've done to you that you cannot let them go for yet. And you walk back upstairs after beating them and you find out that you're the one that just got beat. You're the one that now has the pain. See, they don't. You do. You do. So I wonder how many people do we have in our dungeons of unforgiveness. I wonder how many people do we have in our dungeons that we like to choke by the neck. I wonder how many we have in those dark, scary places of our minds because we're unwilling to forgive. It's a big problem. It's a big problem. It's a big problem in the church. It's a big problem outside of the church. Oh, it's a huge problem. And what we got to understand that in order for us to understand how we need to forgive, first of all, we have to understand there is no satisfaction with keeping people in the dungeons of our souls. There's no satisfaction in that. Zero. None. And so what we have to learn today is we have to learn that we need to set the captives free. And the captives are not the ones you put in the dungeon. You are the captive. It's you. It's you. There are six things that I would like to teach you this morning as far as how to get rid of this giant in your life. The first thing that you need to do is you must base your forgiveness on what God has done for you. And not what they have done to you. We run that by you again. See, in order really truly to learn to forgive, you have got to understand, you have to measure it, what God has done for you based upon what they have done to you. God has forgiven how much of your debt? All of it. He has forgiven every single ounce of your debt. And every single person that I talk to, every single person that I counsel has an excuse why you can't forgive the debt. Everybody has one. You have yours too. And the reason why I know you have your excuse is because you haven't forgiven yet. And so you have them. And here's the excuses I often hear. But you don't know what he said. You don't know how many times I've done the very same thing. You don't know how many times they asked me forgiveness and I haven't. I went around and did it again. You don't understand what they've done to me. Oh, contraire. What have you done to the Lord? What have you done that you have been forgiven for. And what we say to ourselves is, but Pastor Tom, you don't understand how big the debt is. It's so big. Is it? How big was yours? How big was yours? And we have to understand that if we only forgive those who are deserving, how deserving were you when God forgave you? How many of you were undeserving? But yet, God in His mercy has forgiven you of everything. And if you wait for someone to be deserving of your forgiveness, you elevate yourself to a very high position, don't you? That you become the judge and jury of the deserving. If Mark says to me, can I borrow $15? I must have something in order to give it to him. What must I have? Simple, make simple math, right? In order for me to give Mark $15, I must have $15. I must have something in order to give something. Help me understand that. In order for me to give anything, I must have it. In order for me to give forgiveness, I must what? Have it. And I have it. How many of you have forgiveness too? I have it. And I have it in a measure far exceeding anything anybody has ever done to me. And the only way that I can ever give it, Clyde, is to have it. And nobody in this room better say you not have it. How many have it? If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what, Sally? You got it. And how many know you have amples to give because you've been given plenty? So what is step number one in forgiveness? You have to measure the forgiveness by what He has done for you, not based upon what they have done to you. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15.
See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
There's a little boy, his name was Timmy. Not our Timmy, but a Timmy. And a person walked by him sitting on a park bench, and you can see that he was in some significant pain. So little Timmy's sitting on a park bench, and he's kind of being kind of fidgety like this. And the guy went by and said, what is wrong with you? He said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. Well, why don't you get up? Well, I think I'm causing him more pain than he's causing me. You see, that's with you too. You're sitting on bumblebees. You think your unforgiveness is causing that person pain when in reality, you're the one that's got the pain. How many agree with that too? So a little kid sitting on a bumblebee, why don't you get up? Because I think I'm causing him more pain than he's causing me. And see, what we have to understand is we have to allow God to heal our wounds from the past. Every time you go down into the dungeon of your mind and you whip the person who you have not forgiven, you get hurt all over again. Because you relive it over and over and over again. It's like the very next time you see a bumblebee, you sit on it again. We've got to understand that the slightest pressure on your hurt is like a time bomb waiting to explode. The slightest little pressure on that unforgiving spirit causes you to explode. How many's ever exploded like that before? The pressure. The pressure. Carrying all of that pressure. And the minute somebody says something to you, tick, tick, tick. How much like a ticking time bomb some days? Number three, what you have to be able to do is you need to feel compassion for the person who has hurt you. Let's go back to the parable. The servant owed $50 million. And the king was hurt because in order for the servant to have the $50 million, the servant must have had what? Well, access to it. See, in order for the servant to walk away with $50 million, I'm sure the servant didn't back up a truck and take, they didn't have trucks back then, back up the truck and all load it and take it off in one day. How many know it's taking a little bit over a little bit of time? Because it was 10,000 bags. How many? 10,000 bags. 95 pounds each. He didn't take them off on Monday. He took them a little bit at a time. And I'm sure the king trusted him. Now a day of reckoning came. He found out he's been skimming off the top for a mighty long period of time. And the king's heart was broken because there was his trusted servant who he trusted with everything and found out that he stole from him more than he could ever repay. And the king had compassion upon him. The thing that we have a hard time with, don't we? How many of you ever felt compassion at least even one time in your life? Did you ever notice that that compassion was always given to someone who never hurt you? The little orphan down the street. The homeless guy who wasn't being fed. The person sick in the hospital. The person standing on the street corner, help a sign says, work for food. You have compassion on those folks, don't you? How many are capable of feeling compassion? You have felt it before. You have a hard time for those you don't like. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Micah 6:8.
He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Yeah, see, when you won't forgive somebody, you love justice more than mercy. See, when you won't forgive somebody, you got the equation backwards. What you demand is what? Justice. What I demand is that you pay for what you have said. What I demand is that you pay for what you have done. What I want is what, Sonny? Justice. I want justice. But God requires what?
Mercy.
He requires mercy. The king could have had his justice, but he showed mercy. The slave could have shown mercy, but he wanted what? Justice. Which one was the better one to have in the parable? Mercy. How many of you know people in your life that got something coming to them? That's justice. Justice. But God says, I want you to be just. And what you do, you need to be fair. But more than that, love mercy. Love mercy. I've taught so many people in my life, more important than your being right is to be compassionate. Nobody cares whether you're right. They care whether you're compassionate. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 2, verse 13.
Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
It's called the principles of reciprocity. What goes around comes around. The brother of Jesus, James, said, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Imagine you standing before a holy God. And you say to him, I want you to forgive me of what? Everything I've ever done in my life. I want you, a holy God, to forgive me of everything I've ever done that I can remember that I've done. And in addition to that, I want you to forgive me of everything I can't remember that I did that I know that you know. And I want you to forgive me of every thought I thought which was impure, every word I used to rip somebody's heart out. I want you to forgive me of everything I've done that I should not have done. And I also want you to forgive me of everything I didn't do that I should have done. And God said, well, what about that guy that you didn't forgive? I'll show you the same mercy that you showed them. How many of you in this room want that same equation done to you? How many want God to be merciful to you? By the same mercy that you show will be the same mercy, what? That he shows. How many in this situation would rather be called a hypocrite? Forgive me everything, but don't forgive that. Okay? Does it even make any sense? Let's turn in our Bibles to Jonah chapter 3, verse 4.
Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown.
God says to Jonah, I have something against the Ninevites. Bad people. Kind of like that ISIS people. Bad people. They are going into the city and they are raping and killing. The fact is they are taking off people's heads and putting them in the city. They're burning kids at the stake. Ninevites, bad stuff. Bad stuff. When they went in and overtook a city, you were done. The fact is, if they caught you, they'd skin you alive. That's what the Ninevites would do. And God says, I have that against them. Go tell them the judgment is coming them. Look at that. Jonah began by going a day's journey, saying to them, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Why 40 more days? Why not today? Well, why not just... God had it against them. He knew what he did. He knew them. Why didn't God just say, that's it? He gave them a chance. To show what? Compassion. To show what? Mercy. And Jonah, he knows what they did. That's why he don't want to go. It might happen to him. Maybe Jonah had some family members that got handed by the Ninevites. Maybe Jonah has some relatives the Ninevites took care of. And Jonah doesn't want to go. You all know the story, right? Jonah wants to go on a ship another direction. But how many of you know when God tells you to go, you're going? Now, there's a couple ways you can go. I prefer on a Harley Davidson would be cool. A trike would be great. But not in the belly of a stinky old fish. Jonah 4:11.
And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?
Jonah is saying to the Lord, kill them. Give them what they deserve. Don't show compassion on them. Kill them. The Lord says what? Should I not have concern? Should I not have concern? How many of you understand he has concern for the people you won't forgive too? Doesn't he? You know the people that you won't forgive? You know the people you have down in the dungeons of your soul? You know God has concern for them too? Does he not want to forgive them? Well, sure he does. Well, sure he does. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Luke 23:34.
Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
I think they knew what they were doing. They're good at it. The Romans probably crucified thousands of people by that point. How many of you think they knew what they were doing? They knew exactly. You gave a great message on that one time, Pastor. They knew exactly what they were doing. They had a science, down to a science, right? Now let's extrapolate from that. I think the Romans knew exactly what they were doing when they were pounding spikes in his hands. I think they knew exactly what they were doing when they put spikes in his feet. I think they knew exactly what they were doing when they whipped him and punched him and put a crown of thorns on their head. I think they knew exactly what they were doing when they had him carry his cross so he'd become weak and exhausted. I think they knew exactly what they were doing when they poked a spear in his side. I think they knew exactly what they were doing when they were casting lots. How many think they knew exactly what they were doing? Oh, they knew exactly. But yet, Jesus had compassion on them and said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Spiritually. Compassion. Compassion. Let's turn to Romans 12:19.
Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.
See, if you are so busy enacting your revenge, you don't leave any room for God to take care of it. When you continue to harbor these feelings that you have, you save no room for God to do what he needs to do. And many of us are so busy climbing down that dungeon where we have these people, choking them, whipping them. And God says clearly, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. How many know God can take care of it anyhow? How many are thankful God did not take care of you? See, you're the servant that owed many, much, 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 and have been forgiven of everything. The fourth thing that we need to be able to do is you must be willing to pay off the debt that they owe you. You see, we owed a debt to God. What was the debt we owed him? The wages of sin, death. Death. And the Lord God took that debt. And it's important that you understand this. The Lord God took that debt. And did he forgive it or did he pay it? He paid it. In full. And in order for us to forgive somebody else, we need to take the debt that they owe us, and we must be willing to what? Pay it. In full. Pay it. In full. Let's turn to our scriptures, please. Luke 6:35.
Love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked.
There are many debts that people owe us. Many debts. Of course, the one debt that most everybody always thinks about is what? Money. Do I lend somebody something, and they have not yet paid me back? And they owe me a debt. And I want it. Of course, we can all kind of associate with that, can't we? But it says what? Lend without expecting anything back. That means if Yoshiko borrows $20 from me, I should certainly give it to her. And if she gives it back, fine. If not, fine. She's my sister. That makes sense, right? What about your enemies? Love your enemies. Do good. Lend to? Wow. And that's something. I mean, what I just explained I do for Yoshiko, I got to do for people who are my enemies. It's hard. But how many want to be more Christ-like and less you-like? Who really truly in this room says, you know what, I'm done being me. I want to be something far better than me. I am so done being me. Oh my gosh, I want to be more like him. Less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of him. I can lend her $20. She's my sister. But I need to lend the people out there in the street who are my enemies with no expectation of what? And it has to be what? Okay. So we have debts of money. I'm sure that you can understand that. But there's other debts that you also are due, which you have not been paid, and you need to forget it, and you need to forgive them and pay it in full. Here's some more debts. A debt of gratitude. Somebody owes you a big old thank you. For everything you've ever done, you never got a thank you. You never got that plaque with your name on it on the building. Don't they know what you have done? In case you have forgotten, let me give you the list. And you owe me big time. That debt has to be what too? Paid in full. We have a debt of apologies. For what you have done to me, you owe me big time. You owe me a big old I'm sorry. And not only do you owe me that, but you owe me that in public. In front of everybody, on your knees, begging me. And that debt has to be what? Paid in full. Oh, there's all kinds of debts that are owed you. Aren't there? Somebody has embarrassed you. They owe you a debt. Somebody has talked about you behind your back. They owe you a debt. Somebody told you they would do something and they didn't. They owe you a debt. How many debts need to be paid in full, Judy? All of them. Paid what? In? And I'm going to let you know that when you pay the debts in full and you let them out of the dungeon of your soul, they aren't free. You are. Your debt just got what? Paid in full. Let's turn to Matthew 6:38. 12.
And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Whoa! Wait a second, Sally. Wait a second. I'm just saying. I want my debt to be paid. What? Oh, wrong. Contrary, you're not reading right. I want my debt paid as I pay theirs. I want my debts to be forgiven me, Sally, as I forgive theirs. See, the other way is called hypocrisy. I want all of my debts forgiven, but I'll take care of him later. Oh, contrary. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who owe us the same measure. Anybody really want that to go on in your life? I don't think so. You must also quit replaying the debt and hurt in your mind. You cannot ruminate on it. You go over and over and over and over and over and over. How many have that CD player of a mind that goes over and over and over? You must love that tune. It must be like top 20 or something. Over and over and over. And every time you do that, you go to bed and you're going to bed with that same person. Oh, heavens, not. I hope not. And I'm just saying. I mean, every time you take that CD player to bed with you, you are taking that person to bed with you. Over and over and over. How many know what I'm talking about? Just replaying it over and over and over and over. And what you need to do is to take the file and hit delete. You know, when you have a file on a computer screen, you want to delete it, hit that delete, and a little warning comes up. Are you sure? I mean, are you Wait, let me talk to Glenn. That's on a computer, by the way. Carol will let you know about that, right? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's a file that comes up, Clyde, and says, are you sure? Now, when somebody says to me, you know, I deleted this or I deleted that by accident, I go, you know, when you hit delete, a little thing comes, are you sure? How many want one more? Says, are you really sure? And I'm like, oh, really? Come on, really? Are you really sure? Well, see, when you tell me that you want to forget about it too, God hits a button and says, are you sure? Are you sure? And some of us aren't too sure, are we? We think we do, but then we're not sure. See, because I think I do, but that means I have to go downstairs in the dungeon of my soul and to do what? Unlock the chains. And in order for you to really forgive, you have got to delete it. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no records. How many are thankful God deleted your files too? Hey, God didn't just forgive them. Did he, Scott? God didn't just forgive them. He also what? Forgot about it. Can't bring it up. How many are glad about that? Well, how many want to stand before God with that person you can't forgive? But God says, I can't remember. You go, but I do. I mean, I'll tell you what he did. I remember it real well. God took the file and did what, Scott? True forgiveness means also never to replay it over and over and over in your mind. Final thing. What we also have to understand is that we must release the person. Let's go to Matthew 18:18.
Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Let me help you with that. Forgiveness is also in the spiritual realms too. You see, when you forgive somebody, that debt that they owe you, it's also released in heaven, and God has a chance to work on them. Because of what you have done, showing them mercy and compassion, it releases them in the spiritual realm. And their hearts are open and receptive to God's word. Did you know that? Did you know you continue to harbor a grudge against somebody, their heart will be hardened towards you and everything you believe in? Why would they want to follow you? Why would they want to follow you? You tell them what you do in church. You tell them what you do for church. You tell them you go to church. You tell them how much you love the Lord. You tell them how much you love Jesus. You tell them what a different kind of person you are. But yet, you can't forgive them of that thing that they've done in your life. You think they want to follow you to church? What for? Why would they want to do that? And when you forgive them, you release them also not only from you, but from spiritual things. God can now work on them. Their minds are open. Oh, the compassion that I have received from that person. Oh, the freedom in my soul that stuff has all been behind me. How many of you know that the person that you can't forgive is also valuable to the Lord? Now you have a choice. I know that when I brought this teaching to you, some of you had people's names in your mind. You might even saw a picture of the person in your mind. I know you did that. And you know you did that too. I know it. And you know it. You clearly know that when I was teaching this to you, that you had people's minds, names, right here in the forefront of your mind. You were going down in a dungeon of your soul, and you were thinking about those people that you got chained up. I know that you did that. I know you did that. And you were reliving those things that they did to you. I know you know that, and you know that. How many know that's absolutely true? But not only do I know that, but he knows it too. He knows it too. And now you have a choice. You have a choice to mark it paid and be set free. That's your choice. And some of you will refuse to do it. You will refuse to do it, even though I just explained it to you, proved it to you, gave you tools to do it. You want to still climb down in a dungeon of your soul. You want to grab somebody around the neck, and you want to choke them until they pay you your debt. You know it, and I know it. But there could be a couple people that say, I need that. I'm so burdened by this, and I want to be released from this. And if this is you, I need you to do something for me. Instead of climbing down into the dungeons of your soul, I want you to come up here and stand with me. And I'm going to pray over you. And I'll have others to pray over you too. And we're going to release you from that dungeon that you have. So if that is you, I want you to come up here and stand with me. Don't you worry about anybody else coming up here. You just decide it's you. You want to do it. You want to do it. That's why it's a big problem in the church. Because it's a big problem. Because it is a big problem. I'm asking you, my brothers and my sisters, are you done yet? Are you done yet climbing down into the dungeon of your soul, beating people and choking people that really don't care that much anyhow? You're the one that's in pain. And what God has done for you, you need to do for others so that you can set them free. That they will be free to accept the Lord who has given you everything and paid the debt for you immensely over and over again. So if you just grab hands of the person standing next to you. All right, let's be in prayer. Heavenly Father, here before me is my church family, my brothers and my sisters. And they've been hurt for a long time. They have been hurt for a long time. And they have been reliving this over and over and over again so many times. So many countless nights of thinking about it and fretting over it and replaying it over and over and over so many times. Wondering why the person is doing what they did. Wondering why the person did what they did. Wondering why the person can't be different. And Lord, what we have to do is quit wondering about them and wonder about ourselves. We are the ones that are supposed to be different. We are the ones whose debt has been paid in full. We are the ones that need to learn to forgive. Not them. It's us. And so, Lord, we honestly stand before you today, Lord, and we honestly say to you, we set the captives free. Not only those who owe us a debt of whatever kind that it is, we set them free. We pay their debt in full. It is paid in full. Whatever it is we have been seeking for, whatever it is we've been seeking from, whatever the debt that we have been owed is in our mind, we now pay it in full. It is paid. Paid. And we release them from the dungeon of unforgiveness. We release them right now. They are free. and we are free. Lord, thank you for forgiving us of everything we have ever done. And now, Lord, we forgive them. Lord, we don't forgive them because they are deserving of it. We forgive them because we weren't deserving of it. So, Lord, right now, the people that we have in the forefront of our minds, their debt is paid. We're not going to bring it up ever again. We are not going to replay this ever again. We are not going to do it. We're going to go forward from this day into a better way, a better life, done, paid in full. There are no prisoners in our dungeons anymore. They are all gone. Everyone is gone. Gone. And Lord, we ask you to bless them today. Bless them, Lord, wherever they are. Bless their comings and their goings, Lord. Comings and their goings. Lord, thank you for setting the captives free, which is us. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.